Reginald Dwight was an extremely complicated, talented man. He started playing piano at a young age, changed his name to Elton John, and the rest, they say, is history. There's a brand new book out written by Mark Bego entitled Rocket Man. Let's welcome in Mark Bego to the show. Mark, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
Mark, we know Elton John was crazy talented. We know he was an addict. We know he suffered from depression. What can you tell us now that we don't know?
I found everybody in his past. People he wrote with, people he played with, people he did drugs with, people he slept with. They're all in here. One of the wonderful things about the release of my new book, Rocket Man, is it follows on the heels of the success of his movie, Rocket Man, which was kind of a fantasy version of the highlights of his life. My book tells the story as to why these events happened, what led up to them, and really, you know, how Reginald Dwight, as you said, of Pinner, England, blossomed forth to become the outrageous Elton John.
I got to be honest, I feel like I'm the only one that didn't like the movie Rocket Man. I thought it was a made-for-TV movie at best.
Well, you know, a lot of people thought that, and it left a lot of people wanting more. One of the things that bugged me about it is a lot of the facts weren't accurate, although, you know, you have to, like, kind of suspend belief and know that this is kind of a fantasy Broadway show version of Elton's life, and hopefully it's given people the appetite to want to know more, and along comes my book just in time.
Well, they didn't really explain in the movie, why did Elton John start dressing up in the crazy costumes when he first started out?
He is someone who, you know, really wanted to break out of his shell as nerdy Reginald Dwight. And he started wearing crazy clothes back at the Troubadour in 1970 in L.A. In fact, the cover photo is from the Troubadour in 1970 in L.A., the cover of my book, where he's wearing a star-spangled shirt. And that was the beginning, and crazy shoes. And it's just taken off from there. It became something that the press picked up on, his crazy wardrobe, and he had to, you know, compete with himself constantly. So we've seen him dressed as Tina Turner, the Queen of England, Ronald McDonald. I remember going to Central Park and watching him play piano dressed as Donald Duck. He couldn't even sit down on the piano bench. The outfit was so crazy. I really have delved into his past to try and answer some of these questions as to, you know, what he felt like growing up in suburban England. And one of the things that bothered me about the movie, we talked about inaccuracies, when he took the name of one of his band members, Elton Dean, and used that as his first name,
right?
He took the name of another singer, Long John Baldry, as the John part. In the movie, we see Elton look up at a picture of the Beatles.
The Beatles, yeah.
And see John Lennon. Like, why would you do that? What about Long John Baldry? I want audiences to go, you know, readers of mine, to go back and find those albums of Long John Baldry and realize the creativity that helped create Elton John.
Well, Mark, Elton John had a very strict upbringing. I'm sure you talk about that and how that affected his life.
Well, it did. You know, people take a Whitney Houston, even, very strict upbringing, and she went completely wild. So I think that people who are repressed in a way by their parents and by the situation they grow up in are dying, you know, to break out of his shell as a full-fledged peacock, and Elton has certainly done that.
We're talking with Mark Bego. The book is entitled Rocket Man. How bad was the drug use in the 70s with Elton John?
Oh, my God. It was crazy. A couple of the people I talked to are from back in that era and remember parties at Elton John's house. Well, one of them, I'll just tell you right up front, was Randy Jones, the cowboy from the Village People, told me about the wildest cocaine, boys, and booze-filled parties that Elton used to give for the Village People and for everyone else in London he fancied. And just the excesses are just amazing, just amazing.
Tell me about his relationship with Princess Diana.
They were such close friends. And he's someone who, you know, has so many famous friends. He and Johnny Versace and Princess Diana were all buddies
right. Back
in the 90s. And they had a falling out at one point and weren't speaking to each other. She canceled a performance for some charity event, and Elton got in a snit and wouldn't talk to her, and she wouldn't talk to him. Well, then they met. They got back together at Johnny Versace's funeral, rekindled their relationship within weeks Princess Diana perished, and there was Elton at one of his highest career exposure points, singing the reversion of the new version of Goodbye of
Candle in the Wind.
Jean.
Yeah,
exactly. Candle in the Wind. Yes, exactly. Thank you. Really, really exposing himself and his music to the entire world at a very tragic moment. And, you know, it proves that music can heal emotional wounds, and that was something that was needed at that time. And Elton and Bernie Taupin rose to the occasion, rewrote Candle in the Wind in time for Princess Diana. And that's just one amazing story.
Well, you bring up Candle in the Wind. I mean, as soon as you bring it up and Princess Diana's funeral, I can see the visual of him playing at the funeral because we were all glued to our TVs. But tell me about Elton's hair. He was losing his hair at a rapid pace in the 70s. Then suddenly today at 72, he has a full, thick head of hair. What's going on with his hair?
One of the funniest things I read about Elton in the 90s, he finally started wearing wigs. He wore hats in the 80s a lot. In the 90s, he just went full on with wigs. And in fact, the first time he debuted his new wigged look, where his hairstyle changes constantly, was at a benefit for Freddie Mercury back in the 90s. And one reviewer said, and Elton John came on stage with what looked like a dead squirrel on his head.
But so, he wears it everywhere now. That's his thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of him now. It's for 30 years, he's had these crazy wigs on.
Right.
Some of them crazy, some of them conservative, but it's constantly changing. It's like, is that a dead squirrel there? He's gotten better and better wigs. It isn't a dead squirrel.
And, Mark, the Elton John's farewell tour started in 2018. How long does it go, and is it really his last tour?
How many farewell tours did Frank Sinatra do, and how many farewell tours is Cher doing?
Cher, Aerosmith, Kiss, Motley Crue, left, broke up, came back. Yes, I mean, there's so many.
Last dance ever, until we decide to do it again.
Right, until we need some more money.
I don't think that Elton is going to be done performing for people. He likes it too much. He really loves playing his music in front of a live audience, and I think what we're going to see is maybe this is the end of the 3-year-long sets, costumes, international tour. I think that he will be back in residency somewhere, you know, in Vegas or like that. He'll be back, I'm sure, in front of audiences, and I know he's going to continue recording.
Mark Bigo, the brand new book is entitled Rocket Man, about Elton John. Mark, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
It's 720 WGN.